Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We've got a lot of good information for you today, but I think most importantly, you need to understand that this show has a lot of different domains that sponsor this. One of those is MobiusStripPress.com, ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show, and I beg you to tell me any other show that actually has a constitutional solution. I'll even qualify this. The solution that Thomas Jefferson executed as well as James Madison in tandem in 1798, thus the name 1798Part2.org. If you understand the roles, authority, power that the states have, and if you understand why Thomas Jefferson and James Madison went to Kentucky and Virginia, then you should understand that the only way out of this mess that the federal government has created, because the states have allowed them to create this mess, is for the states to step up and say, no more, we're done, we're stepping in, we're taking the ball back, and you're going to have to sit down for a little while until you learn how to behave a little better. And as a matter of fact, it's not a matter of really sitting down, but there is a rebuking that needs to be done, as well as putting the federal government back into the framework. In other words, putting them back to working on those things that they're empowered to work on, instead of those things they choose to work on and leverage tyranny and so forth. So I'm going to get meat into this, or I'm going to bring out a lot of meat to chew on, you know, like chewing the fat, except, you know, some people, you know, have a propensity of not wanting a high fat diet or what have you. And so we're just going to chew on meat today, especially for those who are on a high protein diet. And as a matter of fact, I saw my doctor not too long ago, and my doctor basically said that I lack aggression and I'm just too passive, and he told me to eat more meat in my diet. So we're going to be chewing on some meat today. Again, you are listening to the only show that is asserting the constitutional process, and we call it Republic Review, that will get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. We're literally a week away. A week from today, we'll be talking about the outcome of the Wyoming election. I did everything I can, barring taking out, you know, mortgaging my house and taking out loans to send out and get into the hands of these good patriots that have signed and committed themselves to supporting and protecting the Constitution. So we'll see what happens. We'll see where we are in a week from today. I've got a couple of more things I'm going to be doing. I've been pretty busy for the past month here in trying to support Tennessee as well as Wyoming. But the number to call in if you want, or you have a question, or you want to spout off on something, it's 215-867-8255. And if you do want to spout off and or talk about something, don't forget I have these 3C rule, which is, first, if you know me by name, please just refer to me as GR. And so that first C is being confidential. The second is civil. I think most people understand civility. And, well, unless you're progressive, then you have no clue of what civility is. It is, you know, at any means necessary is within your paradigm. But that's okay. We can just, I have no compunction and I have no guilt in cutting people off and or muting them and letting them go. But I plan on being civil, but I just expect you to be civil as well. And so be concise as well. If you want to call in, already know what you want to state, let's get to it. That way we can, you know, get into the details, because 11 minutes, these segments are 11 minutes long, and I've cut these things back to 2 minutes so that those shows that are actually picking this up and carrying it, because I really don't have any sponsors nationwide yet, they're actually the ones making the only money off of this. And so I'm not even getting any reimbursement. So if you, again, I'll take a quick plug. If you're looking for a national sponsorship, I would love to help you out, and as you help me out as well. Anyway, As you know, the show is dedicated in supporting those on the front line who are willing to stand up against that big Leviathan monster. So that's why you're going to hear state legislators, me pulling them in and talking to them and talking about what they're going to be doing and what they're doing, especially during the 2019 session. So this is kind of our first go for a one-year process. And so having made these connections with these state legislators, I do plan on having them on, especially those that have signed and are those who are willing to sign these pledges. And those pledges are actually on the petition scripts page on reclaimingtherepublic.org. So I will just kind of forego all the rest of the diatribe that I always talk about. Like I told you, and I've been saying for about a week now, I'm going to try to cut down all of this information of what I'm doing with the intent behind all of this and so forth, like the crowdfunding and, you know, where the podcasts are. It's all on reclaimingtherepublic.org. So I have to do the groveling. I believe it is necessary to let you know on a daily basis that I could use help. We need help in every state, and we've got just a few states. And I guess what I should do is identify, you know, what states we do have some help in, and, you know, to the magnitude, like if it's only one person, what have you, because we would love to have more help and getting people to connect and work together so that the, you know, at different areas of the state, hopefully, you know, hopefully we can cover the entire state. But the point is that if you want to help, you can. If you've got a phone, you've got a computer, do not sell yourself short. You'd be surprised with what you can do. By all means, just send me an email. It's info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. So let me go ahead and say the other thing, because I think it begs to be said, as I look through the news and as I analyze the directions of outcomes from court cases and everything else, it does not look like there is even one sign, one whit of the federal government releasing and giving up its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers it has usurped from the states. So that leaves us. We're going to have to do this. And so the best way of doing this, again, is supporting those candidates. We've got 1 week. If you want to throw some quick love out there, you can put money in their hands right now. They can probably get to the radio stations and get some ads running, but it takes money. And as I have asked everybody, we've got a lot of listeners on the show, and we've really grown since I started in the end of January, early February. And with that, if everybody was just donating $2, you know, in one wave, that would be a huge buoying up of support for each of these candidates. But I understand that this may be an unproven commodity, or that everybody just doesn't have that money. Bottom line, I'm submitting to you that we could actually have the greatest impact on this republic in reviving a constitutional effort and restoring our constitutional republic just by a little bit of contributions from everybody. And then you could actually say, I contributed to that. Wow, I was a part of that, even though it may have only been $2, $10, or whatever that was. You could actually hold your head up and say, I was a part of the solution, because I am helping and I'm focusing on where we need to focus first. Get one state to stand up. I've talked about this. A state can become a David against Goliath, but in this particular case, we'll need multiple Davids because Goliath has several heads. And so we have to get a lot of Davids with slingshots with a good, accurate one shot. And actually, it wasn't David with the accuracy. We all know that it was really divine providence or the good Lord that landed that rock where it needed to go. Anyway, let's talk a little bit, because if you've read my bio, you will know that in my bio, I talk about working in the intelligence community for a long time. And clearances and accesses are the fundamental cause of a clearance and access being granted to somebody is because they have a need to know, period. You have to have a need to know what is going on and the current intelligence and that type of stuff. And it is beyond me why anybody who is the ex of anything, whether you're an ex-analyst or an ex-director, it doesn't matter. You're an ex. you have no need to know. It's not a part of your job. Where in the heck did they create a policy to allow these bureaucrats or these people in these intelligence agencies that have left the community? Why is it that they maintain when they don't have a need to know? It violates the fundamental requirement of the need of a clearance and access. So as I think about this, it's almost like they're trying to treat these clearances as property rights. Now, if certain people have property rights, then why don't all people have property rights? Are we an elitist or an aristocracy? Or, you know, the elitist society? That's what socialism and communism is. And I don't believe that that's the type of society we have, so I don't understand why these people are trying to even argue and defend themselves, other than the fact that they're using them, those accesses and clearances, to try to become a weapon, a political weapon, against those who they disagree with, which is the current administration. And that shouldn't even be. Is that their need to know so that they can spout off and leak stuff? I'm sorry. I think there's a better argument that Brennan should go to jail. Same with Clapper. As I'll move on. Alex Jones, I know, has been talking to a lot of people. I've been talking to a lot of people about this censorship of Alex. And so, as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. So I want to get into credibility and what the heck is going on, why we're censoring people like this. But we'll have to talk about that when we come back from the break. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so I am back, and I wanted to go into this Alex Jones thing, this censorship. I think all censorship is bad, and I don't want to besmirch Alex or any other guest host, or I should say conservative entertainer out there. That's what I like to call them, the conservative entertainers. And I could look at a lot of these folks out there, and they're definitely come under a different paradigm, or they definitely have a different angle, a different market space. I mean, lots of them, Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, Larry Elder, there's a lot of different conservative entertainers that have a good reputation. They've got great credibility, but Alex Jones kind of falls into that other camp as a conservative entertainer, where he kind of uses shock jock type of value, where he'll say some really outlandish things. I mean, he's, I guess if I could have the latitude of calling him or referring to him as a drama queen. And, you know, Glenn Beck is kind of a drama queen too, but I mean, he's also a very good marketeer. He's a good conservative entertainer, but they kind of use a little drama. But I mean, Alex Jones is definitely in a league of his own. And Art Bell, you know, Art Bell was a very interesting entertainer, late night entertainer. But when you look at Alex Jones, when Alex Jones says something, do you take that as gospel truth? I mean, really, how many people just, I mean, there are some, and I know some. I had a guy work for me that, you know, was just an avid InfoWars Alex Jones guy. And he kept on saying, you know, you got to talk to him. And I go, by all means, introduce me to him. I would be happy to elucidate him on Republic Review and give him a good understanding of what we need to do. And let's just see if he's going to become a champion for it. Well, the guy never was successful in introducing me. But that's okay. The point is that Twitter has gone after him for basically doing what? For communicating, whether it's shock value or whether it's truth, whether it's harshful. And again, why is it that private companies are being allowed to have the same taxes and so forth being applied when they're not necessarily embracing American ideologies and American fundamental principles such as freedom of speech and those types of things? Now, I'm an advocate for controlling speech for obscenities and vulgarity and that type of thing. I don't believe that there's any place for expletives. As a matter of fact, I have zero tolerance. Anybody uses an expletive, you're blocked. That's my policy. I will block you on Twitter or what have you. And so I just believe that we should have a high standard as far as the types of words we use. But I don't believe that we should be censoring people for their political views or what they politically assert or what have you, whether it be, heavens forbid, racist or what have you. I honestly like it when we know when the racists come out of the closet and we know, okay, well, boom, that Democrat right there used the N-word, he's a racist. But he gets a pass because they constantly give each other passes. Oh, well, he's still one of us, so we have to let that go. Well, I guess the rest of us are idiots because we don't recognize the hypocrisy, but they constantly try to apply that same rule and expectation against conservatives. Anyway, I have a hard time understanding why Twitter has suspended him for 1 week. They basically blocked his account, and they've gone after other people as well. And I've said this before. I think the federal government ought to ratchet up taxes on companies that do not embrace and try to practice freedom of speech and the fundamental tenets that we believe and adhere to here in the United States. I honestly think that any organization that goes after tries to silence somebody or what have you, there ought to be a penalty in taxation where, you know, you're not necessarily applying our American principles, so you're going to have to pay a little more in taxes because we're not considering you part of the free market. And that is the leverage that I believe the federal government has. I do know that they have the ability to have imposts, and they have the ability to do embargoes as well as tariffs. And so whether we like it or not, I think the federal government has responsibility in trying to promote open and honest dialogue instead of allowing companies to actually squelch speech, and like what Facebook and Twitter are doing and literally going after. And there's plenty of evidence that proves that they go after and they spread lies and they promote propaganda to try to get people to believe a certain way or to obtain an outcome. And to me, that goes right into social engineering. What everybody wants to hear, right? We're being engineered into believing, and it's fundamental manipulation. And If you haven't read, there's a really, really good book. It's by Serge Robinson. I forget his name, but it's actually on my website, reclaimingtherepublic.org, on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. If you go to the very bottom, it's Proofs of the Conspiracy by Mr. Robinson. It was written in, I think, 1792. And we've already been fine-tuned on this word conspiracy. Here's a wacko. Well, back in those days, the conspiracy was a really legitimate thing. And conspiracy was one of those things that, you know, people in the free world did not like, especially when you had churches and governments and people trying to move towards. And as a matter of fact, it's the Proofs of the Conspiracy against the, I think it was the British government and the British religion or something. Go check it out. I'm really terrible with remembering those types of details. I got really good historical recall on, you know, the dates and names of our framers and that type of stuff, probably because I've read it too much. But this is a really good book because he actually starts pointing towards the Illuminati and this national effort, I should say international effort, of trying to spread this communism, this concept, because it was literally going into France at that time, and the French Revolution was stirring up from the communes, which was a communist effort. So anyway, I think I've kind of covered the Alex Jones thing, but if that bothers you, then you have to ask yourself, well, okay, I think it's wrong that we were actually censoring speech, but back on Alex Jones, how much credibility do we give him sometimes when he just says, this guy's the devil? You know, he's that dramatization and some of his outlandish positions make it hard for people. And I go, why would you want to censor? All you've done is given him more credibility, if that makes sense. Like what he says is gospel truth. And I don't know. I think Twitter, it's the same thing. And giving you a better perspective, there's a good chance that when I start airing this information on the Chinese live organ harvesting, there's a good chance I and or Red State Talk Radio may be targeted by the Chinese, because in talking with Mitchell last night and doing some introduction segments with him, he was basically talking about how they've actually gone after individuals who start to try to shine the light on this. And as one who is a lover of liberty and realizing that there's equal to the amount of American citizens in China, 300 million people that are political prisoners, that their only purpose is to keep their organs in a good, healthy condition so that the Chinese can harvest them at sell on the market for somebody else. And that is absolutely despicable. That is inhumane. It is just hard for me to fathom. So there you go. I mean, I think it's really important that we, you know, if China comes after me, if they come after Red State Talk Radio, then that's only going to legitimize us as a more journalistic organization than possibly InfoWars. Because what you're doing is you're lending credibility to saying we're trying to shut these guys down, so there must be some truth to what they're saying. Anyway, and another sad thing in the news that I noticed today is the fact that a New Mexico judge did, the folks in the area did not like the fact that she allowed, her name's Judge Sarah Bacchus, she allowed the five people who have been, I don't know if they've been convicted, but they haven't even faced trial. She's allowed them to go out on bail. And she basically said that the prosecution had not convinced her that the defendants were a true threat to the community. So this was, I think, two women and three men that were part of that compound where these kids were being trained to, you know, go into and have school shootings and so forth. And I understand why the community would be up in arms, but to create death threats, I mean, that's against the law, folks. I can understand you being really upset and maybe recalling the judge. Do what West Virginia did. Look at her finances. Look at things that you might be able to impeach her on, and then you can get rid of bad judges. There's usually, everybody has something, right? There's always something out there that you can find in their behavior currently and what have you. Come on, let's utilize the resources and just utilize the tools, and the tool would be impeachment. You don't want to commit, you don't want to communicate death threats. That's just wrong. I know I've talked about this before too, and I've talked about this in regards to the trades and everything else. And I know in Turkey is trying to ratchet up another trade war. Why is it that we are even imposing tariffs? We should have an automated system on imposts for imports that literally calculate whatever the other country is doing as far as them adding to, you know, our imports and so forth, that we have a neutralizing impost that we apply to all of the imports coming from these countries that are playing these shenanigans like China, Turkey, and so forth. So if we do that, then it just, it automates the process. And instead of a retaliatory, it is just an automated thing. And I think that's the better way of doing it. Then it becomes far less visible as a retaliatory action. We'll be right back after this, though. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so I am back, and one of the things I wanted to say was that if we, as I was talking about this automation process, it literally takes away the appearance of the bad guy, that Trump is retaliating or anything else. We have the ability to automate a formula that would ensure that there will be a fair trade balance. So in other words, if they get rid of all of their taxes and tariffs on our goods, then our imposts will just automatically go down. It goes down to where we actually have a free trade as much as possible, because there's too many of these countries like Turkey, too many of these countries in the Middle East and in Europe, Asia, and so forth. There's way too many that are subsidizing their poor government structures, such as socialism and communism. They need money on their exports so that they can make money on that. And what we can easily do is say, okay, well, we're not going to subsidize you. We're going to have an automatic process that is going to ensure that we neutralize your subsidies. And that way, if they, you know, want to buy cars, they want to buy our goods, our food, or what have you. And we need to release all of the Obama progressive administration, Bush progressive administration, and the Clinton, these, you know, last 20 years of progressive presidents and administrations back to Bush Senior, and get rid of, you know, these compromises in shutting down our growing of food, our how we've limited ourselves and being able to feed ourselves and get back to making America productive again, because that's what makes America great. And I believe that is Trump's plan and his policies. So with that, let me, before I move into anything else, I do have Bill Winnie on the line. And how is the race going, Bill?
Well, it was interesting. Monday we had a forum in Alpine, Wyoming, sponsored by the League of Women Voters. They do that in a lot of places out here. And I felt pretty good about it. Of course, being in Alpine was close to her home stomping ground, so in one sense it was like, you know, these folks there probably came to support the incumbent. And I knew that. I mean, not a big deal. That's the way it goes. But at the end of the day, I thought I handled myself very well. And I thought my opponent was, as a minimum, dismissive. And so...
And at the worst...
He had a tendency to read... Well, I could use more strong, you know, words that are stronger, but...
Okay.
You know, you can... You can cross over into territory that I'm not going to cross over into. But anyway, she had a tendency to read prepared statements in response to questions. I had one little slip of paper up there that I would take notes on, but that was it. I was talking from my own knowledge in my own head. And there were a couple things that came up that I thought were of real note for the voters. One, we had a question about the budget that had been passed at the budget session this past February and March in the Wyoming legislature. And I remarked that they hadn't looked very hard at the various departmental budgets to see how they could pare them down. And that has to be taken in the context that they came into the budget session intending to take $902 million out of savings, and I thought they needed to pare that down. And I had looked very hard at education and concluded they could probably pare out about $50 million in administration. But at any rate, suffice it to say, my opponent there said, oh, we looked very, very hard. We went into all this stuff, and we looked hard, and we did the best we could. And then I stuck my hand up because I wasn't scheduled to follow her, but the hostess from the League of Women Voters very graciously let me speak a short bit. I said, look, we went into that budget session intending or needing to take $902 million out of savings, state savings, and we ended up taking $922 million. Out of state savings. Now tell me how you looked hard at the various departmental budgets.
Right.
And that was the end of the questions. Didn't go any further at that point.
Right.
But I thought that's significant.
Good.
Because the Senate tried to pare things down and ran into a brick wall. You sound like you were going to say something. I got another one I'll bring up when you're ready.
Well, so... one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and I know we're still in primary, you're going into the primary next week, but it would be
right.
It would be really good, as you know, inside the pledge that you've signed, there are those actionable things. And I honestly think that one of the things that when you have the time, if you win the primary, is, you know, I'm just trying to plant the seed because I've already talked to Chad Christensen. And I know he's working in that direction of trying to reach across to all of the other winners of their primaries so that you can start creating a coalition even before you hit the ground running. Have you thought about that? Or are you just really still focused at the war here?
Well, I got to admit, I am focused on the primary. But,
right.
But yeah, I thought, where do you go from the primary to the legislative session, which of course will convene in January, This year, it's a 40-day, 40 business day session, so it'll go from early January into early March. And how do you do something productive along the lines you're talking about? And the point is, you got to build coalitions yep. with various other legislators. And in a very real sense, I've already been working along those lines for Good. Those all these years since 2005. I've been going back to the legislature. A number of those guys already know me. They've heard me speak. They have a decent idea how I think. And you know, when I get up to speak, they listen. They don't always agree with me. I got it. You don't expect everybody to agree, but they pay attention. You know, I observe the three B's. Be short, be specific, be seated.
There
and
you
because
go.
Because they're confident of that, they pay attention when I speak, because I do keep it short. So in a sense, I've already started working those coalitions, but yeah, you got to put them in place this fall so that when you get there in early January, you're actually hitting the ground running like you talked about.
Right, right. Well, you were going to have another point. We've got about 3 minutes. Go ahead and close on your point then. The other thing that...
Well, the other thing that yeah. came up... Go ahead. The other thing that came up in the thing... one of the things I did this past year was I assisted in bringing to fruition an idea that I put on the table June a year ago about computer science education, basically peanut buttering computer science education across the entire first through 12th grade program so that you didn't have to shoehorn in a course here and a course there, that it was basically a part of the overall program. And it went somewhere. It got put into law. It wasn't a done deal, but I had to speak up on it, but I did. And it did get passed. And my opponent here called it another item we're just adding into the basket of goods. And it's going to cause teachers to have to get high-level certifications and stuff like that. And that just wasn't true. It wasn't accurate. You know, it wasn't another item in the basket of goods. A lot of school systems are already doing it in lots of different ways. But this would formalize it, and it can be done in little bits and pieces as you revise grade-by-grade curricula.
Right. Well, I think more importantly, it's for the kids, making them competitive when they get out of school. And so becoming resistant to actually improving their diverseness in education. I don't mean diverseness in ethnicities and all those other things, but having a good rounded understanding of computer science as well as history, as well as the Constitution. All of those things are critical to have a better society instead of, I mean, what would you rather do is just, provide more social studies?
Well, you're absolutely right there, GR. Absolutely right. And, you know, when you get down to brass tacks, if you look at computers, they're just a tool. Pencil, paper, ruler, how do you take notes, how do you do research in a library, they're just a tool.
But they're an important tool. They're an important tool today, yes.
Yeah, they're a very, very powerful tool. But the point is, if you spread it across, do it in little bits and pieces, by the time they graduate 12th grade, you got a bunch of people that are doing advanced coding.
Right. And that's far better for Wyoming, because then they're not considered, you know, that backwoods, you know, type of mentality, that they're actually leading in, you know, the current technologies and so forth. So anyway, I appreciate you calling in and giving us a report. By all means, if I don't hear from you by the primary, let me know. Call in next week, at least, when you have, you know, the primary kicking off, how you feel it's going. But I know you need to get out there and fight. And so you need to get out and differentiate yourself between you and your opponent.
Well, you got that right. Thank you very much, Gio.
No problem. Go lead. Just go lead and let her manage, okay? Take care now.
Okay. Take care.
All right. You bet. Bye now. Well, folks, as I've said before, this show is really dedicated to those people that are really trying to stand up for all of us. That's Bill Winnie, and he's fighting a good fight, but he's really fighting a well-entrenched, established Republican in Wyoming. So he does need help. We will be right back after word from our sponsor. We got one more segment to go through, so please stay tuned and we'll be right back. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so I am back, and I appreciate the fact that Bill called in and was able to give us kind of an update. Nice to know that he's at least, it's tough. I know it's got to be really hard for a guy in a debate, you know, especially with the Me Too. You don't want to be coming across, you know, too rough and so forth and challenging, but you have to. You absolutely have to challenge what your opponent, it should be regardless of their gender, but I think we've grown way too sensitive. And I heard this little statistic that in any race, if it's a man and a woman, because of this Me Too movement, a woman has a 5% advantage currently. And so I'm going, wow, that is an outcome that was obviously sought, and they probably wanted a higher outcome in trying to shift the focus and shift the movement of the political movement towards more women in politics. Now, this isn't a bad thing in gender with if you have a female, but if you notice, we do have some conservatives, and we have some really good conservative women. But it seems to me like you've got a lot of real drama queens out there, like Hillary, like Warren, and so forth. And why is it that they, you know, since Buchanan has left and was beaten out with all of the shenanigans going on in Minnesota, it's really sad that she wasn't able to retain her seat. But I'll say this, that we don't have enough really good, strong, conservative women in the Republican GOP. And when I say conservative, I'm talking about constitutionally conservative, not just, you know, has a strong position. I know Kathy McMorris Rogers is, you know, fourth most powerful person in Congress because of her tenure and all of that. What does that mean? Doesn't mean that she's a constitutional conservative. I can tell you she's not. She's not a strong constitutional conservative. Now, will I vote for her? Yeah, absolutely, because the alternative is a communist. But the fact of the matter is that we have to start developing and preparing for those people to actually who are better qualified, and we need to make sure they're better qualified through better vetting and so forth. We have to be far more proactive. We can't just continually take and allow for the status quo, just like that's what Bill is fighting here. He's fighting a status quo opponent who has been an incumbent, or has been, I think she's been in office since 2012, 2013, the 2013 session. So she's been in there for a little while, and we need leaders. We don't need managers. And I've got a rally I'm going to be going to on Saturday, and it's a Second Amendment rally that I wanted to kind of give you an overview on what I was going to be talking about, because there's a lot of these Second Amendment rallies that are starting to go on, and you've listened to me on this show regarding the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, if you remember the preamble, the first thing that comes out of the Bill of Rights when you read that preamble to what these bills are, Madison clearly identifies that having the Constitution been ratified and discussed, every single state requested that there be negatives placed upon the federal government, so that the federal government, so the people would feel more secure in their government and have greater confidence and goodwill with their government. And so they created these 10 amendments. In these 10 amendments is the Second Amendment, which is the, you know, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. And I'm just really paraphrasing, just highlighting over this. Most people know that it's the right to bear arms. Well, that right to bear arms shall not be infringed only applied to the federal government, not the states. The only thing that converted the Bill of Rights to the states was the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment, Section 1, states very specifically, and I quote, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor to deny to any person with its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." Now, most people call this clause the Due Process Clause, but actually, this is the application of the Bill of Rights and the privileges and immunities that are within the Constitution that are guaranteed to every U.S. citizen. And how do I know this? Because if you go online to the Congressional Globe, which is the record of Congress back in those days, and I think it was 1866, 1871, somewhere in there, and I can give you the exact date and number, because there's some really good articles on this, and I've actually quoted on this, and it's actually in my book as well, that John Bingham, the author of that particular clause, clearly stated, and I'm going to paraphrase, but I can give you the quote if you want. I can go look this up. What he stated was that this section applied the first 8 amendments to the states. And therefore, that was an official testimony of the passing. So remember, I've talked about the ratification debates. You had both positive and negative things in the passing. Well, so the negative things had no merit if it passed. The negative things have merit if it doesn't pass. But everything that was said in positive in getting something passed means that those in contract law are legally binding in the definition of what that means and what that is. And so when John Bingham, in an official capacity in Congress in session, testified that that section, Section 1, that no state shall pass any laws, that part right there, as it is applied to the first 8 amendments, means that that's an official and legally binding statement. A lot of people do not like that. There's a lot of things I don't like about the 14th Amendment. I'd love to see it repealed. But we need to at least live with what we've got and go through the proper process. And the only best process of doing this, friends, is doing this with Republic Review and auditing the Constitution, and the only authority and the only entity with the authority are the states. the states could step in, just like James Madison and Jefferson tried to do in 1798 when I started talking today. They tried to audit the Constitution in pulling the federal government back into the checks of the Constitution. So here we go. What we're looking at is that the states out there that are starting to create infringements upon people's rights to bear arms is literally a violation of the 14th Amendment. So people like calling it the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is applied to the states via the 14th Amendment, just like the First Amendment. Did you ever notice that, you know, people talk about these constitutional rights and civil rights? Where do we have this right of free speech that the states can't pass a law that can infringe upon? Show me in the state constitution where they've actually included that the right of individual expression, speech, the freedom of the press, the establishment clause, all of those things that are associated with the First Amendment, are those in those state constitutions? And if not, then where do these people get this right of being able to have the freedom of speech and the freedom of religious expression? That's because those rights have been applied. So this is the arbitrariness, and this is what we call tyranny, because when rules and laws are applied arbitrarily, as they use them to their advantage, that is exactly what the progressives have been doing. They definitely get away with using freedom of speech and justifying pornography and very pernicious things. However, they will do anything and everything they can to violate the Second Amendment. And they don't want to make the association that the First and Second Amendments are you know, a hard standard because of the 14th Amendment. They're literally, but they will definitely fight to the death over the 14th Amendment in ensuring their rights of illegal search and seizure, freedom of expression, and those types of things. So it is hypocrisy. It's a double standard that they have been applying certain parts of this 14th Amendment to their advantage, and they completely have this, you know, blackout or whiteout of the fact that the Second Amendment has equal protection from the states. And why is this? The historical point of this, friends, is because after the Civil War, the Southern states were passing laws that were violently affecting the freemen. They were taking away their rights for assembly. They were taking away the rights of speech, the rights to bear arms. They were literally passing laws, and that's exactly why the 14th Amendment was passed, to keep the Southern states from being able to do that. Now, here's a little tidbit. John Bingham, in unofficial capacities, had said, you know, that the 14th Amendment kind of meant this, he didn't mean that, and so forth. But it doesn't matter. It's just like Alexander Hamilton may have said all sorts of different things. The only time it matters of what they said was when they said it in an official capacity to convince somebody to pass it. During the ratification debates, whatever Hamilton said that justified and provided clarification of passing the Constitution, that is legally binding. All of his other obfuscations, lies, and everything afterwards, and as he was trying to centralize more power in the federal government, those things are not legally binding. And that's why this is really important to understand these types of things. Well, I hope you did get this. And if not, let me know. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic with your help. Thank you. God bless. And we'll see you tomorrow. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.